Chapter 38. Bartimaeus. Dying was the simple part. Our main problem was catching Nauda's attention. We stood, the two of us, in our single body, directly beneath the middlemost dome. This was the place to lure him to, the epicenter, the place of maximum iron. But Nauda was too big, too noisy, too confused and desolate to be easily lured. Back and forth he lurched on his mess of limbs, trampling stalls and kiddies' rides, and stuffing trees at random into his gaping mouth. He undertook this serious work with admirable conviction, and none of his eyes were turned our way. Flying was out for us now. Even bounding would be a stretch. It took most of my remaining energies to keep the boy upright. Left to his own devices, he'd have crumpled to the floor. So we stopped where we were, and shouted instead. Or at least I did, with the kind of cry that triggers Tibetan avalanches. When shouted from Nepal, that's how loud it was. "Nauda! It is I, Bartimaeus, Sakral Jinni, Ngorso the Mighty and the Serpent of Silver Plumes. I have fought 1,000 battles and won them all. I have destroyed far greater entities than you. Ramuthra fled before my majesty. Chu cowered in a crack in the earth. Hoipo, the thunder snake, ingested his own tail, and so swallowed himself rather than taste my fury. So then, I challenge you now. Come, face me." No answer. Nauda was busily munching on some of the exhibits in the Grotto of Taxidermy. The boy ventured a tentative thought. Does that count as a goad? It was essentially straightforward boasting, wasn't it? Listen, a goad's anything that provokes or incites an enemy, and, oh, look, it didn't work, did it? We're running out of time. Another few steps and he'll break outside. Let me have a go. The boy cleared his throat. Cursed demon! You have met your end! The shivering fire awaits you. I shall spread your vile essence across this hall like margarine. A very thick layer of it. He hesitated. Yes, I'm not sure he'll pick up on that analogy. Never mind, keep going. Cursed demon! Attend to me! The pity of it was that the boy's voice was desperately faint and growing fainter. I could barely hear it, let alone Nauda. But he finished up with a very effective extra, namely a bolt of force from the staff that jabbed Nauda sharply in the rear. The Great Spirit responded with a roar. He rose up, limbs twitching, bulb eyes questing. All at once he saw us and sent multiple bolts crashing all around. His aim was lousy. One or two landed a few meters distant, but we stood firm. We did not budge. The great voice. Bartimaeus, I see you. The boy whispered something in reply, too weak to hear. But I read his mind, spoke the words for him. No, I am Nathaniel. I am your master. I am your death. Another burst of white energy pricked Nauda's essence. He hurled a stuffed bear aside and turned in ponderous wrath. He came crawling toward us, a colossal shadow, alien to this world, sundered from the other, blocking out the light. Now that's what you call a proper goad, Nathaniel thought. Yeah, it wasn't bad. Right, wait till he's on top of us, then we break the staff.
The longer it takes, the better. Kitty?
She'll get out. Don't worry. The boy's strength was failing, but his resolution was undaunted. I felt him summon his remaining powers. Steadily, calmly, muttering under his breath, he loosed the bonds restraining Gladstone's staff, until all at once the hopes of the entities trapped inside were raised. They pushed, strained, pressed against the remaining loops of magic, desperate to be free. Without my assistance, Nathaniel could not have controlled them. They would have instantly broken through. But Nauda was not yet where we wanted him. I held the staff in place. There was nothing now to do but wait. According to some, generally those who don't have to do it, politicians and writers spring to mind, heroic deaths are admirable things. I've never been convinced by this argument, mainly because no matter how cool, stylish, composed, unflappable, manly or defiant you are, at the end of the day you're also dead, which is a little too permanent for my liking. I've made a long and successful career out of running away at the decisive moment, and it was with some considerable regret, as Nauda bore down upon us in that soaring tomb of iron and glass, that I realized I didn't actually have this fallback option. I was bound to the boy, essence to flesh. We were going out together. The nearest I'd ever come to this dubious last-stand business before was with Ptolemy. In fact, he'd only prevented it with his final intervention. I suppose if my old master could have seen me now, he'd probably have approved. It was right up his street, this. You know, human and jinni united, working together as one, etc., etc. Trouble was, we'd taken it all a bit too literally. Bartimaeus? The thought was very faint. Yes?
You've been a good servant.
What do you say to something like this? I mean, with death bearing down, and a 5,000-year career of incomparable accomplishment about to hit the fan. The appropriate response, frankly, is some sort of rude gesture, followed up by the loudest of raspberries. But again I was stymied. Being in his body made the logistics too cumbersome to bother with. Well, try giving yourself a rude gesture. It just doesn't work, does it? So, wearily, wishing we had some kind of maudlin soundtrack, I played along. Well, you've been just dandy, too.
I didn't say you were perfect.
What?
Far from it. Let's face it, you've generally managed to cock things up.
What? The bloody cheek! Insults at a time like this! With death bearing down, etc. I ask you! I rolled up my metaphorical sleeves. Well, since we're doing some straight talking, let me tell you, buddy.
Which is why I'm dismissing you right now.
Eh? But I hadn't misheard. I knew I hadn't. I could read his mind.
Don't take it the wrong way.
His thought was fragmented, fleeting, but his mouth was already mumbling the spell.
It's just that we've got to break the staff at the right moment here. You're holding it in check, but I can't rely on you for something as important as this. You're bound to mess it up somehow. Best thing is to dismiss you. That'll trigger the staff automatically. Then I know it'll be done properly.
He drifted. He was having trouble keeping awake now. The energy was draining unhindered from his side, but with a final effort of will, he kept speaking the necessary words. Nathaniel?
Say hello to Kitty for me.
Then Nauda was upon us. Mouths open, tentacles slashed down. Nathaniel finished the dismissal. I went. The staff broke. Typical master. Right to the end, he didn't give me a chance to get a word in edgeways. Which is a pity, because at that last moment I'd have liked to tell him what I thought of him. Mind you, since in that split second we were, to all intents and purposes, one and the same, I rather think he knew anyway. This is Simon Jones. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of the Bartimaeus Trilogy, Book 3, Ptolemy's Gate, by Jonathan Stroud. This program was produced and directed by Robert Kessler, executive producer Orly Moskowitz. Text copyright 2006 by Jonathan Stroud. Production copyright 2006, Random House Inc. All rights reserved.
Hello, this is Jim Dale, narrator of the Harry Potter audiobook series. Listening to audiobooks isn't just great entertainment. It's also a great way for your family to experience and enjoy books together. Studies have shown that listening to stories read aloud helps children build vocabulary, improve their reading skills, and succeed more readily in school. It's an important step on the road to becoming a good reader, and one of the best ways to help ensure a lifelong love of literature for the children you care about. Check your local retailer for the wide selection of audiobooks available from Listening Library. Or, if you would like to visit us online for more information, check our website at www.listeninglibrary.com. Thank you, and happy listening.